Ready to make your money work smarter? Kraken is the crypto platform trusted by over 13 million people worldwide. With Kraken, you can instantly buy and sell crypto, power up your trades with advanced tools, and get 24/7 support from real humans anytime you need help. Kraken has been around for more than 14 years and was voted the best crypto exchange of 2025 by Forbes. Getting started is simple. Create an account, fund it, and place your first trade. Start today at kraken.com. Ready to make your money work smarter? Kraken is the crypto platform trusted by over 13 million people worldwide. With Kraken, you can instantly buy and sell crypto, power up your trades with advanced tools, and get 24/7 support from real humans anytime you need help. Kraken has been around for more than 14 years and was voted the best crypto exchange of 2025 by Forbes. Getting started is simple. Create an account, fund it, and place your first trade. Start today at kraken.com.
You're listening to 30 Mindless Minutes, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Remember, always use your head. Lend me your ears and welcome back to another episode of 30 Mindless Minutes. I am your host, DJ. I want to thank you for joining me again this week. Got a really, really special guest this week. We're getting a little bit controversial. This topic that I have picked out this week is a hot button issue, especially right now in certain circles. It is surrounding the UAP-UFO disclosure. And my guest this week is not only a friend of mine, but also the host of the Attitude of Progression podcast, more specifically, Unidentified History, the lawyer, Dave Ungar. Welcome to 30 Mindless Minutes, sir.
Hey, DJ, thank you so much for having me in here. It is a pleasure to be on your show for once, since I'm usually occupying your time with all of my projects. So I'm pleased to be here, sir.
Well, Dave, I'm glad to have you, and I promise I will not take more than 30 minutes of your time. I try to keep these to a half an hour. We've got a bit to unpack. As I was saying, UFOs, UAP, this community is, as I'm finding out in learning with you and being with you on your podcast, quite expansive. I thought this was a very, very niche thing in certain circles it may still be, but it is an expanding group of people. And the more people getting into this, and I think the question of whether or not we're alone in the universe has been asked for as long as man has been recording history. And we are closer than ever to getting some of those answers. Before we get into all that, Dave, how did you get started down this road? Just in being interested in UAPs, UFOs, and then going into starting the podcast. Like, where did that start, and how did the interest in getting the podcast going start?
I think it's something I've always been interested in this stuff, DJ. And it's like, I think I kind of isolated it on some of the things I was doing on X and looking at certain things. And I recall when I was like really young, there was a documentary movie that had come out involving, ironically enough, it was involving Bigfoot, the Abominable Snowman, and the Loch Ness Monster. And as I've discovered within the last few months, Peter Graves hosted that and actually have found the video, which was a little bit tricky to find. And that kind of got me started down this sort of paranormal path. And I've always been interested in ghosts and things like that. And then I saw Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And that movie really resonated with me. And I don't know why. I can't even really explain it to people. Like, from my standpoint, it has never been a question in my mind as to whether, aliens, extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call them, NHI is the more modern term. There was never a question whether they were real or not. And you just start listening to stories. And that's the thing. Most of the UFO lore is anecdotal. It's all stories. There's very little hard, super hard evidence. There is some, but not a whole lot of it. And I always just kind of thought of it as like, yeah, this is just a given. This makes sense. Because I was always like, well, all these people can't be crazy. I mean, some of them, sure. Some of them are crazy. But, you know, to the numbers of stuff that people have reported over the years, over the decades, centuries, perhaps, you start noticing patterns and things adding up, and you get to the point where it's like, well, that just, it's too coincidental. There's too much of a cumulative effect of this stuff. And you got to say, well, either everybody's crazy or there's something really going on here. So I've had a lifelong interest in this and studied it for many years, read a bunch of books on all sorts of things and all sorts of sightings and events. And I think like when Attitude of Aggression first started, there were a couple of episodes with my former co-host. He was into all this stuff. And we used to sit around here and talk about like the Anunnaki and things like that. And we always said, you know, we should do a few episodes, just like one-offs, where we talk about this sort of stuff, you know, in addition to the wrestling, because it interests a lot of people. And we even had one guy on who was a guest one time, and he was like a amateur cryptozoologist. And I remember we did the episode, and we were both so disappointed because he was so skeptical of his own stuff, which is ironically what you have to be if you're actually researching this stuff seriously. And, you know, we never did anything with it. And then I think, like, I remember talking to you and Tunney specifically about, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing with this thing. There, you know, they had the big New York Times article in 2017 that revealed the existence of the legacy program, where that the government had lied for years and said, we're not interested in this stuff. And the whole time they're spending $22 million studying it. And then there was the hearings in July of 2023 with some really important claims that were made. And I just started thinking, you know, I'd really kind of like to talk about this stuff in a more podcast centric format. I started listening to more of the UFO podcast, and, you know, to come full circle to what you said, it is a niche audience to a great extent. And I think that's still the case. Now, that niche is widening as public perception of this gets broader and you start to get around the super heavy stigma that is attached to this. But that's kind of where it went. And then I went to you and Tunney and I said, would you like, and I know you've had an interest in the paranormal too. So I went to you and said, and the dogs, of course, are upset now, but that's just par for the course. It's what happens when somebody rings the doorbell. I'm not even going to answer it.
There's a guarantee. If I'm on a podcast with Dave, I get to hear the dogs. That is a guarantee.
Nobody comes here for like days on end. And then as soon as you get on here, somebody rings the doorbell. It's just, it's, and I'm sure it's somebody trying to sell me, solar that I already have. But anyway, yeah. Now I remember going to you and Tunney and saying, here's what I'm thinking. And Tunney was like, well, why don't you just expand the wrestling podcast into a different kind of an offshoot brand sort of situation. And the rest is kind of unidentified history.
Yeah. The one thing I like about being on the podcast with you is the fact that we do approach this. Now, I've told you on your show, and, you know, as I get further along in this episode, I live in the, I believe there's life elsewhere in the universe. I want to believe we've been visited. And I think that at this point, the focus has shifted from, are we alone in the universe? I think mathematically, scientifically, we can answer that question and say it is scientifically impossible for us to be the only sentient or even non-sentient, just beings in the universe. And I want to quote real quick. This is kind of counterproductive to what I'm trying to say, but from the life by accident analogy from Fred Doyle. And what I had always quoted was the probability of life arising by chance is like taking a watch, putting all the pieces in a box, shaking it and having it come back together fully assembled. And, you know, it's an interesting quote, but I think it's much, we're talking about science and not chance. You know, and science obviously works because we're here. A collection, a series of things happened that created life on this planet. And it's just asinine to think that that couldn't have happened elsewhere in a universe that collectively has more stars than we have grains of sand on this entire planet. So to think that life doesn't exist elsewhere, I think is a bit obtuse. But as we talk about your specific podcast, the one thing that I do like is that we do approach it with a bit of skepticism. Again, I said I live in the area of team I want to believe. Like, I need more than just smoke. I need to see the fire. And like most people who live where I do, we want to see that. And that's what we're getting to, you know, in the culmination of this episode is the disclosure. But we also have a thing that we do on there that I really, really like. It's, we call it... what's the, when we start looking at like historical things at the end of the show, it's fell right out of my head.
We call it legit or bullshit.
Legit or bullshit. And we go over the evidence and we take a specific, like the Bermuda Triangle. We did an episode on that and we examined the evidence and we picked that apart. And at the end, we laid everything out in like a T-bar situation. You know, do we believe it? Don't we believe it? And then we rate that, you know, at the end of the episode. And I think that's probably, like you said, where most people should live. We should question the things that we hear and the questions, things that we see. But at this point, there's so much smoke that it's hard to believe there's not fire somewhere. So the bigger question, and we've asked this on your show, is if we have been, if there are beings in the universe elsewhere that have the capability to travel here to our planet and come here, and they've been here, why haven't we been contacted? And Dave, have you ever given that any real thought or research?
Yeah, as to why we haven't been contacted, I mean, who's to say we haven't? You know, that sort of thing. I mean, there's a lot of information that contact has been made. It's just perhaps not in the way that we are anticipating it or expecting it, right? I mean, we're expecting it to be like, you know, the UFO lands on the White House lawn and the aliens come out and says, hey, we're here. Or you're going to get, that's obviously probably, I would say not obviously, but probably not going to happen. There have been some incidents involving like mass sightings, like the Phoenix Lights is probably the most well-known of the mass sightings with lots of people seeing a huge event. Now, what the lights were, the more public facing sort of example of that are, of course, the lights appearing above the Phoenix skyline that was taken by, I forget her name, but she was out in the mountains. But that's not the whole story. Like, you know, people were sighting things all day long, like giant craft coming overhead in broad daylight. So what happened at night that was explained away as being flares, which is, of course, one of the interesting explanations, isn't necessarily the full story. But, you know, there could be a lot of different ways that they are trying to contact us. We just aren't picking up on that. You know, there could be a frequency that they're using that we're not either aware of or we're not tuned into. You know, if anybody who's watched The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch knows all about that 1.6 megahertz signal that comes across that constantly shows up on the tracking devices and the sensor meters and that sort of thing. Is that a communication device? You know, there's an episode where Travis Taylor is like looking at two of these streams coming across the stream and saying, I think these things are talking to each other. What if they are? And we're just not able to pick that up. You know, could they be doing some sort of information transfer? Like if you've, and I'm just going to use movie analogies because it's easier that way. But like if you've seen the movie Contact, right, where they get the information transfer that comes across and she builds the interdimensional machine, that sort of thing. Could they communicate in that way? And we just don't know it yet. I think with the proliferation of AI and the way that AI is scaling up right now, and I'm not saying sentient, this isn't Skynet, but it is demonstrating some capabilities that you start to wonder whether that might pick up on something that we have missed and say, they're trying to talk to you, you guys just aren't aware of it. So I think when you get to the subject of why haven't we been contacted yet, there's a couple of different ways to look at that. I mean, the big thing to me is like, okay, have we been contacted and we just don't realize it? Either that or the other alternative is they just don't care enough to contact us. And you go back to the example, and I think we've talked about it, unidentified history, is the whole notion of like, you know, do they look at us the way we look at ants in our backyard? Oh yeah, they're an annoyance out there, but as long as they stay out of my house, I don't give a shit. But, you know, once they get in your house, then you've got to do something about that. So from their standpoint, are we the ants in the backyard who are now trying to get into the house?
Well, to build upon that, that's been where, again, where I live, and we've talked about this on your show, I have equated this to, if they're observing us, like us doing a nature show, like you think of just any nature show that you've watched on TV, somebody's going out in the wild and they're observing tigers in their natural habitat. The idea of the person filming the video and doing the investigation is to not be seen by the tiger. Okay. Not disrupt the ecosystem of the area that you're trying to explore. Now put that into broader terms. Aliens are observing us. that I have to imagine if they're intelligent enough to develop craft or means to get here from a gazillion miles away, they have to be smart enough to think, hey, don't mess with anything. Go with the Boy Scout logic. Make it look like it did when you got there, when you leave. And so you look at that and you don't want to be seen. And then the other part of that mentality that I look at, again, we're talking about potentially intelligent human beings. They're probably looking at this like, okay, and think of this from a human perspective. If you're observing a tiger and the tiger sees you in its environment, it doesn't know what you are. It just knows you're not a tiger. Its first instinct is to defend its territory or try and figure out what you are. And that's very threatening to you and can be very detrimental to you. You have to think that they look at us the same way. You know, we don't know what their response to us is going to be. Don't let them know we're here. And for anybody who's saying, well, I wouldn't do that, you understand, you obviously don't understand human nature. We kill each other over the most mundane things. If something shows up in our space that looks absolutely nothing like us, our first instinct is probably going to be aggressive. That's just human nature. And they're probably aware of that. So for their own safety and for in the sake of not causing larger problems, that's where I live in the why haven't they exposed themselves fully or made themselves known, you know, to the world at large. And as we get a little bit more into the disclosure, why haven't they, what's going on? That's my biggest reasoning for why, if there are beings and they have been here, why they haven't just said, hey, we're here. You know, this is what we look like.
I agree with that to a large extent. There could also be, and you know, Gene Roddenberry, of course, came up with this, but there could be some truth to the whole non-intervention policy. You know, there may be some sort of cosmic rule out there that you can look and observe, but don't get involved.
The prime directive.
That may be accurate, you know, that sort of thing. But like you're saying is, yeah, you want to observe we could be the animals in the zoo. You know, yes. Earth could be a intergalactic amusement park, you know, their version of Disneyland and that sort of thing. And then like to your point where people say, well, I wouldn't act that way. Well, you're talking about a species that is highly likely to be more technologically evolved, more spiritually evolved, and has mastered consciousness on a level that we're just scratching the surface of. And I don't want to get into the whole woo side of the whole phenomenon, but there is an element of that. Like when you get into the abduction phenomenon and you start listening to what people say, and most of the people are saying there's a telepathic communication that's going on, that's how they're communicating. They're not speaking to people verbally. All the kids in Zimbabwe, that aerial school sighting, 60 kids saw something, something land. They saw people outside the saucer. All the kids drew pretty similar objects. Many of them had that telepathic communication warning them about this is how you're screwing up the planet. So, yeah, the fact that people say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, tough, yeah. You know, that's not how they might be doing it.
You might be an island in that, my friend. So let's move forward here a little bit because we only have so much time. Former President Barack Obama was on with Brian Tyler Cohen. And Cohen asked him about the existence, and I'm paraphrasing here a bit, but he asked if, you know, beings existed, and Obama's basic answer was yes. And that lit a fire immediately within the community. Like, okay, this is a former sitting president who was in office for 8 years, and okay, he said, yes, they exist. This guy knows something. And so, okay, yay, this is, okay, now we're headed somewhere. Those of us who want disclosure, we're like, okay, this is a step in the right direction. And then he walked a back step and a half and went back to the area where DJ lives of the, yes, they're out there, but no, they haven't visited. Okay. And that's very frustrating to one, obviously you know, because you and I had a very long discussion about this in the chat about, you know, those that are really, really actively doing the research. And for the people who are on the ground, boots on the ground out there, trying to find the truth and going to these congressional hearings and speaking out, trying to protect the whistleblowers. These people obviously have got to be disappointed for him to say, yeah, they're out there, and then be walk it back and say, well, what I meant was, you know, very frustrating from our perspective.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place.
Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Yeah, it wasn't entirely unexpected. And I mean, the question that he'd asked him was, you know, are aliens real? And Obama's response was, yes, they are, but I haven't seen them. And they're not at Area 51. And unless there's a big conspiracy to hide this stuff from the president, which of course, you didn't see the movie yet, but Tunney and I did. That's the whole premise of Age of Disclosure, the documentary that came out in November. The whole thing is about that the president is on a need-to-know basis and he may not need to know, and that gives him plausible deniability. Obama's walk-back statement was basically saying, like what we're talking about, it's statistically unlikely. And I would say, you know, I like the analogy about the watch pieces coming together, and I like how you qualified that and indicated that when we're talking about life, the molecules of life, the building blocks of life, that's a little bit different than a bunch of mechanical pieces randomly reinserting themselves. Okay, yeah, that's unlikely. But when you talk about the number of stars, the number of galaxies, the number of planets, the number of exoplanets in the universe, the odds that the exact same situation that existed here on Earth existed elsewhere is not only likely, but certain. I mean, statistically certain, I would say. So for Obama to say that and then kind of like, you know, nothing ever happened, I don't know anything about that really. It is frustrating, but most of us, I mean, the thing about Barack Obama is you're talking about one of the most eloquent, well-spoken presidents in the last 100 years, right?
Yeah.
So and what I've said on X to people is the odds that he would get so lost in his words like that, that badly, are very unlikely to me. And I think that he may have, there's a lot of reasons why he may have said what he did. The bigger egregious part is that Cohen didn't follow up. Well, as soon as he said, okay, I don't want to go ahead
because I have a follow up on that, but go ahead and finish.
As soon as he said, yeah, aliens are real, I just haven't seen them, I would have said like, wait, how do you know they're real? You know, but he never did that. He never had that follow up question. And I know he's even said, yeah, I dropped the ball on that thing. But go ahead, Deej. I know you wanted to.
What I was going to say before you made the comment that he admitted he dropped the ball is this is one of those hot button issues where, again, we talked about whistleblowers, and you have done some research and some shows with people who have lost their entire livelihoods talking about this. So as an interviewer, as a reporter, as a journalist, you have to be cognizant of that. How deep down this well do I actually want to go? Like, okay. He says, yes, they're real, but no, I haven't seen them. Do I want to press and risk my livelihood? Or do I just, okay, this is Barack Obama. He's very well spoken. He's former president of the United States. I take him at his word, and we move on to the next question. So, and that's got to be a real thing for some journalists.
It is. But then you add on that last part as a journalist. I think as a journalist, you've got to ask that follow-up question. You're not doing your job if you're not. I mean, I understand, like, I agree with you that you've got to be cognizant of, you know, okay, do I want to walk into this hornet's nest? But I think as a journalist, you've got a duty to ask that follow-up question. That's my opinion. I can't speak for anybody else, but I just think, like, you've got to ask that follow-up and build upon that and say, I mean, this guy, if it is what we thought it was, right? It's a president who's 10 years removed from office disclosing that we are not alone. The aliens are real. I haven't seen them. I don't know where they're at, but they're real. That is, at the time, could have been the largest or the biggest announcement in human history. It's what everybody's waiting for Donald Trump to do, which isn't going to happen, but that's another story entirely. But it was, I mean, the whole thing was disappointing, but you know, you do start to wonder, was this sort of like a feeling out mechanism where they wanted to drop this to see what sort of reaction it got, either from the fact that were people interested in this, which they obviously were. One of the guys I follow makes, and he follows me, he made a good point that he thought it was kind of trying to see, to gauge whether there would be any sort of feeling of panic, because that's the big argument against disclosure, right? We've talked about it, is the feeling that if it was disclosed to the world that we're not alone, that there would be mass panic in the streets, people's psyche couldn't handle it, society would break down. You got none of that with this announcement. You just got people curious and wanting to know more. Nobody was panicking. Nobody was running out, grabbing a bunch of toilet paper off the shelf. None of that stuff was happening. There were people who were genuinely curious about it. And I think that that aspect of things is important to keep in mind, that people are like the trailer for, you've seen the trailer for Disclosure Day, the upcoming Spielberg film.
Yes.
Where the people are starved for the truth. There's a lot of truth to that statement.
There's a lot of people who feel like that movie may be a thinly veiled attempt at some actual disclosure. Like, yeah, like you, Spielberg was my gateway into this community with the, God, just fell right out of my head. The Third Kind, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
That was my first real movie about that. And that got me, you know, there. And Spielberg has dabbled in this before with E.T. and War of the Worlds remake. So this isn't new territory for him, but this is one of the first times where you really feel like, and a lot of people feel like, if anybody's going to know anything, then if there's anything to know, Spielberg might be the guy, and people are holding their breath waiting for this movie to come out because they think, like I said, it may be thinly veiled disclosure.
Well, think about the movies that he's done. This is not the typical, yeah, it's an alien movie, sure, but this is not Close Encounters. This isn't E.T. This isn't War of the Worlds. It is specifically targeted at this concept of disclosure. It's in the title.
Yeah.
You know, it is in the title. And you know, what are we doing? Now, I don't know if I necessarily believe that something is going to be disclosed in this movie. Could this be used as a mechanism to get even more people talking? Absolutely. And I think it will be successful in that. And there does seem to be this momentum building on the aspect of disclosing this in some form or fashion to the world. I think the world, you know, has a right to know this sort of stuff. It's not, everybody hides behind national security. You know, a lot of these whistleblowers, the guys you talked about earlier, guys who came forward because this bothered them from the standpoint that, hey, this is a, I understand I've got an oath to my country and I'm a patriot and I'm all about national security, but there's a bigger problem to humanity going on here. People have a right to know. Humans have a right to know. You know, like they say in the trailer, it's, you know, the right of 7 billion people to know this. And of course, we won't get into the 1 billion who are missing from that equation, not in, in this episode. But,
right. No, that's a topic for another day.
Right. But I think, you know, there is, if you can get around the stigma, and I've got a really good example of that entire stigma situation that just happened yesterday. But if you can get around all of that and really start digging into the fact that there's still so many people out there, DJ, as you know, they think this is all nonsense. They think it's all science fiction. They think it's all fantasy. It's all crazy people with tinfoil hats sitting in the middle of nowhere with a banjo in one hand and moonshine the other, seeing flying saucers.
That actually sounds like a good time.
It does sound like a good time. It really does. But you know as well as I do, there's more to this than that. But you have to get around. They have drilled it into our heads for 80 years that there's nothing to see here. It's all bullshit. And that's not really the case.
I would say, even if you're a non-believer, if you're a full skeptic, like this is all bullshit, this is all horseshit, the psychology surrounding the people that do believe and to the depth that they do is very fascinating. It's a fascinating, even like I said, if you just go down the rabbit hole and read some of the research, some of the documentation, some of the stories, very, very fascinating. Historically, where UAPs land in human history, very, very fascinating as well. And that is something that we do on the unidentified history. We historically, by date, chronologize different events that have happened. And it's been a fun ride with you, Dave, so far. We talked about Trump. I'm not going to go into that one very long because we are running short on time. If you're so inclined, supposedly the date where he's going to have this big announcement is July 8th. I don't know why they picked a date. Why, if there's something to tell, they needed to find an exact date. Is it going to be any different from July 8th than it is from you know, February 17th of 2026.
There's a reason why it's July 8th.
Okay.
It's the anniversary of Roswell. That's why they picked July 8th.
Okay. Well, that still is horseshit to me.
Exactly. Announce it now, Donald. You know, Jesus.
Legit or bullshit? I'm leaning towards bullshit on this one.
Oh, it's absolute bullshit. Complete.
Dave, we're just about out of time. Before we get out of here, please promote your stuff. Let everybody know where they can find you and what you're doing.
Yeah, you can follow me on – the best way to follow me is on X. That is at Attitude Ag. That is Attitude AGG. Attitude of Aggression Wrestling Podcast is branched off into like a three-headed monster now. There's the Pro Wrestling Podcast, which, of course, you know, anybody who follows DJ and the rest of us knows that we talk all sorts of wrestling. We are going to get back to the Big Five Project, which, ironically enough, is our own wrestling chronology of pay-per-view events that we've been going through since WrestleMania 1. And we are into 1996 now, which makes our partner, PC Tunney, very happy to get out of 1995. There is DJ and Tunney and I are doing Game Gone Wrong, which is our review and analysis of right now. We're looking at A Night of the Seven Kingdoms. And we're going through that, and we'll be going through House of the Dragon. And then on the UAP side, yes, specifically Unidentified History, as DJ says, we're loosely chronologically. I keep finding events that mess up the timeline, DJ, but we'll get to that later on. But we're trying to go through chronologically some of the biggest, or I wouldn't say the biggest, but the most interesting UAP sightings in history. And when we actually get back to that, we're going to be doing the Kenneth Arnold sighting, which is where the whole term flying saucer came from. So that's what's coming up on the next one. I am going to be I'm going down to LA for the Conscious Life Expo. A lot of the influential people in the community are going to be speaking there. So I'll be doing that. But yeah, please check me out. I would, you know, love to talk with anybody about this stuff. It is definitely a passion of mine, and there's a lot of information there. That's all I can say.
And Dave, thank you. You have been listening to 30 Mindless Minutes. I hope you took something out of this, whether you believe, whether you don't believe, whether you're like me and you're kind of somewhere in the middle. I hope you took something out of this. Go check out Dave's work. He's got some incredible research. His website, it's attitudeofaggression.com.
Yes, sir.
Attitudeofaggression.com. Got a lot of documents that you can pull, you can look at, look over as far as the UAP, UFO phenomenon. I get you out of here in 30 minutes or less because I know you got shit to do, and we'll be here next week. Intro music provided royalty-free by Audionautics. That's www.audionautics.com. My go-to for all my podcasting royalty-free music needs.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Ready to make your money work smarter? Kraken is the crypto platform trusted by over 13 million people worldwide. With Kraken, you can instantly buy and sell crypto, power up your trades with advanced tools, and get 24/7 support from real humans anytime you need help. Kraken has been around for more than 14 years and was voted the best crypto exchange of 2025 by Forbes. Getting started is simple. Create an account, fund it, and place your first trade. Start today at kraken.com.